The North Carolina Supreme Court is a down ballot race. I mean, way down the ballot. Well below U.S. Senator, state legislator, even below offices like the Commissioner of Insurance. But don't be fooled. The highest court in the state is just as important as the executive or legislative branch, says Michael Bitzer, political science professor at Catawba College.
It is an equal branch of government, but it is oftentimes an unknown branch of government. I bet if you asked anybody, who are these candidates out of 100, one or two, if they were lawyers, might know.
Let's test that. In 2012, there was only one seat on the state Supreme Court up for election. Do you remember who ran? Now, I know you weren't expecting a pop quiz, so I'll give you one of them.
My name's Sam Irvin IV. I'm currently a judge on the North Carolina Court of Appeals.
Now, who was his opponent? Need a hint? Cue the banjo.
There's a judge they call Paul Newby. He's got criminals on the run. Paul Steely Stairs got him running scared, and he'll take them down one by one. Paul
Newby. The Paul Newby Sam Irvin race 2 years ago broke North Carolina's spending records for a judicial election. Some $4 million all told. Most of that money came from outside groups that aren't required to produce their donor lists. But outside groups aren't the cause of concern this time. What is? The fact that last year, North Carolina abolished public financing of judicial races. If you want to see how that has changed things, just look in Judge Sam Irvin's trunk.
All right, if you open my trunk, what you'll find is a box full of palm cards that have information about the campaign on it and a few contribution envelopes. And I hope that's a year's supply.
Judge Irvin is again hoping to become Justice Irvin. When he ran against Newby in 2012, Irvin only had to raise around $80,000 on his own before public funding kicked in. All told, his campaign would have access to roughly $350,000, and that would be all his campaign could spend. Now, the caps are gone, and so are the public dollars. So every penny his campaign needs for TV ads, direct mail, and yes, those palm cards has to be raised directly. And Irvin says the pool for people willing to give to Supreme Court candidates is limited. To corporate officers, friends and family, and people who know and are in the legal system. People like lawyers.
So it is inevitable that you call up members of the bar and you call up other folks that you think of might be willing to contribute money and ask them for it. Is that comfortable? No. Do I like doing that? No. Is it a good thing for judges to do that? No.
Irvin estimates that he may need to raise more than $1 million. There are rules that bar judicial candidates from seeking contributions from lawyers with cases pending on their current docket, but they can still ask for donations from others in the same law firms. And justices on the state Supreme Court serve 8-year terms, so there is no way of knowing which lawyers will end up arguing before the court long after the campaign is over. This means a judge may hear a case involving or being argued by one of their campaign contributors.
Can I understand why somebody would be concerned about that? Sure. Who wouldn't be?
All of this can create, at the minimum, the perception of a conflict of interest. Just that, says Irvin, has far-reaching consequences.
When you do anything to create the impression that a seat on the court is for sale, then I think the legitimacy of the system as a whole is harmed.
To some, these changes have made the system better.
I'm not complaining about the end of taxpayer funding of campaigns. I'm celebrating it.
John Hood is president of the John Locke Foundation, a conservative political think tank.
We should never have gone down that road, and now we're finally backing up and going in a different, more positive direction.
Hood says money has always and will always find ways into elections, judicial or otherwise. You ban it in one place, and it pops up in another.
You are stumbling around in a pen chasing a greased pig. And you can pretend that it's heroic, and you can pretend that it's a good faith effort to improve the process, but you're just getting muddy.
And, Hood adds, justices run for statewide seats. The $350,000 of public financing they received, and were limited by, made it impossible to run an effective statewide race.
If we're going to have judicial elections, I think the only way they will be adequately and transparently financed is by campaigns raising and spending the money.
If you need one more reason to see Supreme Court races as important, think of this. The next court will likely decide cases on the future of teacher tenure in North Carolina, school vouchers, and other controversial laws passed by the General Assembly. For WFAE News, I'm Tom Bullock in Charlotte.